This is the 55th in the series, and with this we conclude Shmuel Beis, and Malach HaMalach will pick up sometime in the future. As I announced on Shabbos, in 2 weeks we move in a new direction, more modern direction, begin a 13-part series on a history of Israel that'll take us through the spring. So this is the last episode in Shmuel Beis. There's at least one Sara left. David HaMelech's reign is nearing its end. This is entitled The Fatal Accounting. It's a sin so obvious that what one wonders what caused it, how David HaMelech could have succumbed. And I think in the most unusual segue, how this event somehow climaxes Shmuel Beis with the groundbreaking of the Beis HaMikdash, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the purchase of the Goren, the threshing floor of Aravna HaYavusi, which is the Mokom HaMikdash. Now, David HaMelech had endured rebellions of his sons and others. As Ethan walks in, reminds me that the shiur is sponsored by Melissa and Ethan. Ilanishmas Ben Sion Lev Kaiser, Ethan's grandfather. Tenish Masa Tzurbat Sarachayim. So David HaMelech had endured many rebellions already of his sons and others, wars with Shaul and Ammon and Plishtim, and he yet, despite all that, he set such a high standard of Dveikus Bashem that he's called, right in the introduction to that beautiful Shiras David, we read in the Haftorah of Shvi Shel Pesach and the Parshas Hazinu, Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. And really all of David's emotional state, psychological states, all the vicissitudes of his life are referenced. Just, he lays himself out completely bare before us in Sefer Tehillim. And yet this incident, it stands out. It's astonishing, as so many other episodes in David's life are astonishing as well. So famous halacha, we all know you're not allowed to count Jews. We read it on Parashat Shkolim, beginning of Kisiso. Kisiso is Rosh Bnei Yisrael. If it's necessary to count Jews, there's a certain procedure to follow. Everyone brings a masa shekel, and we don't count heads. We count the shkolim. V'lo yevo hem negef bifgod osam. There shouldn't be a plague that attaches itself to the Jewish people as a consequence of counting them. And in fact, all the Mefarshim say, the plague that the Torah referred to as this plague shouldn't have happened. And yet it did happen, and it's as dire as it sounds. We don't count Jews one by one, because then we're saying that every Tzelem Elokim is the same. And that can't be. In terms of holiness and ability and intelligence and closeness to God, every Jew is different. So to count the Gaon Vilna and this Rasha together as if they're the same, one, two, so it's a depreciation of the Tzelem Elokim. We can't homogenize people, so we don't count. And yet that's what David did here, despite being told that he shouldn't do it. So how did it happen, and why did it happen? Let's look at number one, beginning of Perek Chaf Dalid in Shmuel Beis. Vayosef af Hashem lacharos b'Yisrael. The anger of God flared again against the Jewish people. And that doesn't bode well, nor does this. Vayoses es David bohem lemor, he incited David because of them, them meaning Israel, saying, Lech mineis Yisrael v'es Yehuda. Go and count the Jewish people, the people of Israel, the people of Yehuda. Of course, the first thing we have to endeavor to understand is why Vayosef af Hashem acharos b'Yisrael. Why was God angry with the Jewish people, and why would God incite David to commit a sin? That's not God's way. Rashi says in 2, Vayosef af Hashem acharos b'Yisrael, lo yadati alma. I don't know why, which is even stranger. The Mefarshim give reasons. Look, for example, at number 3, the Mitzudas David. Milavad ma shechora po bedvar givonim shehoya bavur zerov gimel shanim. Aside from the last story we discussed, where David, to try to appease the Givonim, gave them 7 descendants of Shaul HaMelech to kill, that strange episode, and that sparked the famine of 3 years, here's something else. Hosif od lacharos, God is angry again. So Metzudas David speculates, V'tochein she'acharon hoyo al ma shemerdu b'David b'dvar avshalom v'sheva ben Bichri. It was the anger of God was against the people now. Because here you had the great David, Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael, Gever, who come all, the one who taught everyone about Tshuva, the Tzaddik of Tzaddikim, and the people constantly rebelling against him. Majority joined Avshalom. Probably majority joined Sheva ben Bichri. That's a people that deserves David HaMelech? No. Or perhaps the Metzudah says that some other sin, a hidden sin that David did not know about. Now, if you look at number 4, the Ramban takes up this inyan of God's incitement of David. An incitement, which if you look at the top left, number 7, in Divra Hayomim, Aleph, Perikhof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, there, this story is introduced as Vayamotz Satan al Yisrael, that Satan rose against Israel. Satan is the Yetzirah. Vayosas as David Limnosis Yisrael, and Satan incited David to count Israel. Ralbag says back and forth, Roi Sheteda Sheroi Sheyuvan Mizeh. It's important to know, to understand. She'ein Hashem Yisbarach Hu Amesis is David Limnos Hosom. God is not the one who incites David to count the Jewish people. Shem Hoya Zekein, if that were so, Lo Hoya Oshem LaDavid Alzeh, then David would not be at fault. If God is inciting us to sin, we really have no hope. Ve'echon Sho, how would God have punished David? Imkein Hashem Yisbarach Bozeh Ha'onesh Haneflo Elohi. How would he have punished David with his divine and wondrous, astonishing punishment? It's not that God incited, but that the incitement is connected to God. Meaning, that God is really the cause of everything that happens. It's the cause, the proximate cause. But not that he's the direct cause. Shamar vatehi isha levein adonecho kasher diber Hashem, as it says that there'll be a child born, as God said. I mean, it's all God's will. Or as Yosef said, lo atem shlachtem osihena ki elokim. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was God who did it. So it's God. So God is really the proximate cause. Not that he directly incited David. But that's not what the Pasuk says. Vayosas as David bohem lemor. The Pasuk seems to imply that God played a role. It's as if the sin was waiting to be performed. It was a sin of potentia. And God, so to speak, forced David's hand. And made sure that this sin took place. The sin of counting the Jewish people. And we have to understand why that is as well. Now, why did it happen? This will return to a little later, but just to summarize some of the opinions in the Rishonim and the Gemara. So number 5, the Ralbach continues, V'hine ha'chait hazeh bozam mispar lefi masha echshov. These are his own thoughts. Ki zeyora al shedavid hoya som basar zra'o bivitcha rov ha'om. It's teaching that after David had conquered all the nations surrounding him, he had vanquished all his foes. In fact, right before Perek Chof Dalid, the end, the last half of Perek Chof Gimel, is a listing of all of David's warriors. all the officers of his army. So David placed trust in his might. And in the number of the large population of the nation, and David's bitachon should not have been in his own power, but only in God. Only in God. We never do well when leadership places its trust in armies and weapons and might. And sometimes, in fact, a flawed nation is taught a lesson that the very instrument in which it places its trust will be defeated, will be vanquished, or at least humbled. So the mistake David made, that he thought now he was, all his enemies were gone, and now he wanted to revel, to glorify in the trappings of monarchy. The army, warriors, the officers, and especially the size of the nation. You know, it's a staple of totalitarian countries, the military parades, that they bring out all their weapons and all the armies, and millions of people come. Totalitarian countries are forced to come, but then the leadership gets to boast and look what we have. All our splendor is on display. And the Rabbak says, also the Torah says there's a specific method of counting, shkala, and that David didn't use. Now, we'll see the sin is multifaceted, and why it had to come about this way, we'll also see. But look at number 10 for a moment, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samech Beis, Amud Beis. This refers to, the Gemara starts with the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Vav, where David is given the opportunity to kill Shaul, and he refrains. He stays his hand, as David did on a number of occasions, and instead, notwithstanding the fact that Avishai ben Tsruya, one of his great generals, says, just the three of them, and Shaul's asleep, says, let's kill him. David says, no, I'm not going to kill him. He says a few things that we'll return to later, and then he says the pasuk that is quoted here in the Gemara Brachos. This is after Shaul wakes up, and Shaul says to him, you'll remember the story, Shaul says to him, is that you? HaKochazeh b'ni David? Is that your voice, my son David? And Shaul's very apologetic, and David says to him, Im Hashem hesischobi, if God is the one who has incited you against me, Yorach Mincha, then God can be appeased with an offering, with a Karba Mincha. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu LaDavid. God said to David, Mesis Karisli? You call me a Mesis, an inciter? As if I'm the one who's inciting Shaul against you? I'm going to cause you to stumble a simple halacha. Anyone who goes to Shul Parsha Shkalim knows it, a child knows it. The Pasuk from Divrei HaYomim, Uchsiv Ayoses es David Bohem, Lemor Lech Meneis Yisrael, back to our text. And God incited David to do this illegal counting. V'keva dimaninu lo shaka minayu kofer. He counted them, but he didn't use shkolim. T'chsiv v'yitein Hashem dever b'Yisrael me'aboka v'yad eis moe. That God sent this plague against the Jewish people from the morning until the appointed time. So you have already two sins that are laid out for us. One, overconfidence, hubris, that affected David on some level. And secondly, the technical sin of counting without using the shkolim. The Malbim in number 8 quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, who essentially adopts one approach in the Ravag, that it's not David, it was the people. Shoyach Haronaf al Shemerdu b'malchus beis David. that the people had to pay for their betrayal of David HaMelech. Okay, what happens? So David gets it into his mind somehow that he is now obligated to count the Jewish people, take a census. So the king says to Yoav ben Tzruya, his chief of staff, Shutna b'chol shiftei Yisrael midan v'ad Be'er Sheva. Go travel about the entire, all the tribes of Israel, from Dan in the north to Be'er Sheva in the south. Ufigdu esom, you'll count the people, v'yodati eis mispar ha'om, and I will know the number of people that we have, the size of our population. Yoav ben Tzruya, Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin, was a great Talmid Chacham. So he knew exactly what had to be done and what couldn't be done. Vayomer, as he protests, Vayomer Yoav el HaMelech, as much as one can protest when you're dealing with an absolute monarch who can kill you for any sign of disobedience. But Vayomer Yoav el HaMelech, V'yosef Hashem Elohecha el Ha'om, Kohem V'Kohem, Mea Pelmim, may God increase the number of your people 100 times and 100 times more. Ve'nei Adonai HaMelech Ra'os, and the eyes of my king should live to see it. Ve'Adonai HaMelech, my master the king, Lomo Chafetz Badavar Hazeh. Why do you want this? So Yoav knew it was Asur. He knew the Torah says explicitly, V'lo Yevach Ha'vam Negev V'fgod Asam, that if you count Jews any other way but through Shkolim or some other inanimate object, it's going to provoke a plague. He should have disobeyed orders, but it's easier said than done, especially when it's a capital crime. Vayechazak dvar HaMelech el Yoav al Sarechoyil, the king insisted, prevailed upon Yoav and the other officers. Vayetze Yoav v'sarei achayil lifnei HaMelech lifkod esom es Yisrael. Yoav went. He went. I deleted the next few psukim. Nobody says he went throughout the land very exhaustively. 9 months and 20 days. Left Yerushalayim and came back to Yerushalayim. Went to every town, every village, every city, counted all the Jews, Pasuk Ches, Vayashutu v'chol ha'aretz, Vayavo mekzei tishah chodashim, esrim yom Yerushalayim, and then he gave the king the number. He counted, Vati Yisrael shmona meyos elef ishchayal shalev cherev, in Israel there are 800,000 men of war, and in Yehudah, chamesh meyos elef ish. Yehudah, his tribe, his stronghold, 500,000. So he counted all told, 1.3 million Jews of fighting age. In Divrei Yom, it's a slightly different count. The Gemara discusses why, but that's not, we're not really our inyan here. So he had his count. He had his count. Why were they so many? Right. Yehuda was the most faithful of tribes. Some of the other tribes, like Shimon, for example, had already been co-opted into Yehuda. They're the largest territory, and they're the tribe of monarchies. They're wealthy also, so their numbers grew. The other tribes were always involved in various squabbles. They fought wars. They suffered more. But Yehuda became the strongest. That was David's seat of power until everything was amalgamated. Now, but I should say, there are two different approaches to the chait. One is Rashi and the Ramban. They say very simply, the Gemara says, it's Rashi and Ramban and Chumash, that David didn't use Shkolim, that was his punishment. The Medrash says differently, if you look at number 12, Rabbi Elazar b'Shem Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kol Zman Shenimnu Yisrael Letzorech Lo Chosru, Shelo Letzorech Chosru. Whenever the Jewish people are counted of necessity, so there's no diminution in their numbers. When it's not necessary, then there is. When were they counted of necessity? In Moshe's time, when they count the beginning of Bamidbar, the census for the tribal heads and the tribal flags, the division into tribes after the Chayto Egel, and in Pinchas, where the count is again done. So both those, Rashi and Rabban say, were with Shkolim and Litzorech. V'shelo Litzorech b'mei Dovid. Shelo Litzorech was b'mei Dovid. Now according to this, it didn't matter even if Dovid had used Shkolim, because you simply don't count Jews Shelo Litzorech if it's not necessary. If it's not necessary. And Israel goes through this every 10 years when they have its census. And they go to the religious neighborhoods, and they find the census takers, as they do, here we do it by mail now, but the census taker will go to how many people live in the house, how many children, and many from people are very loath to answer. So sometimes they'll answer, not eight. Well, not eight could be seven or nine, but it's hard to get a precise figure. But according to Rashi and Ramban, the chait was they didn't count with Shkolim. According to the Medrash, he just counted unnecessarily, and that was its own chait. Now, as it is, Yoav was very reluctant. He started the count with Shevet Gad. They were very warlike. And everyone knew, it's an open pasuk in the Torah, everyone knew this would provoke a plague. So he was hoping they would resist. But of course they did not. And the day of reckoning comes immediately. Vayach lev David osach rechein safar sa'am. David's heart smote him after having counted the people. Why is that? So it's an experience that I would think everyone, not here tonight, but people we know, have in their lives. When a person sins, that's why I exclude everyone here, right after you commit the sin, you realize it. Your conscience smacks you in the head. You feel guilty about it. You feel wrong. You may have thought going in everything was fine. I have to do this. It's meritorious. It's a mitzvah. Once it's done, then you realize right away, like Adam Rishon, realize right away that he'd sinned. And David always had a very clear sense of right and wrong, even though he had desires and he ate Zorah too. So whenever a sin was pointed out, right away he confessed. Never prevaricated, never obfuscated, right away. And here, as soon as it was finished, he's talking 9 months, that the sense of chait was germinating, but didn't really become actualized in him. As soon as it was finished, and he got the tally from Yoav, right away he knew he did something wrong. Vayomer David al Hashem, David said to Hashem, Chatasi me'od. Here too, there's a piskov emtza pasuk, as indicated by the pei samich. David said to Hashem, Chatasi me'od asher asisi. I've sinned greatly in what I did. And God, please overlook, please remove my sin, the sin of your servant, because I've acted very foolishly. So David confessed right away, but the sin needs rectification nonetheless. God spoke to God, Holoch v'dibarta el David, go tell David, komar Hashem. Shalosh anochi notel olecho. I'm giving you three punishments. Really a choice of three punishments. A choice of three punishments. Now Rashi says here in 6, Achas mi shalosh. Very unique. You can choose one of three punishments. Why three? Shalosh ani notel olecho keneged shalosh sheitalta al shaul. Corresponding to the three expressions, almost contemptuous expressions you use. That episode I referenced earlier, when you had David and Avishai confront Shaul in the cave, so David said, when Avishai wanted to kill him, David said, don't kill him. We shouldn't do it. But Chai Hashem, ki Hashem igofenu, maybe God will smite him. O yomo yavovo meis, he'll just die of old age. O b'milchomo yereid v'nispa, maybe he'll be killed in battle. He'll perish there. So he used these three expressions relating to Shaul's demise, what the sin was, we'll get back to later. So God said, these three punishments are now before you. You choose what? These are the three. Vayomalo, hasavo l'cho sheva shenim ra'ov bar tzecho. You could choose 7 years of famine, Or Bim Shlosha Chodashim Nuscha Lefnei Tzarecha V'Hurot Fecha, or 3 months in which your enemies will pursue you, chase you, overtake you. I mean, 3 months where your enemies will have full sway over the land of Israel. V'mheyos shaloshes yomim dever bartzecha, or there'll be 3 days of pestilence, plague in your land. Ata now da'orei moshiv shalchidavar. God said to him, I need to know right now, on the spot. These are the 3 options. Rav, Cherev, or Dever. If you look at the Malbim number 11, David said, the 3 different types of punishments. Hara'ah, famine, hutivi is natural. Onesh HaCherev, Bechiroi. The sword is... man-made. There's a physical that comes through nature. Physical punishment comes through man. And Dever is Hashkochi. It comes from God. So what did David say? Pasuk should be familiar to us. Vayomer David al God, Tzar li miyod, Niplono biyad Hashem, Ki rabim rachamov, Uviyad adom al apolo. David said to God, I'm very, very distressed. Let us fall into the hands of Hashem, because His mercies are abundant. Uviat odom al apolo. Let us not fall to the hands of man. So, of course, this is our introduction to Tachnun. Every day that we say Tachnun, Vayomer David al God, Tzar li miyod. David said, better to be punished by God, by the hand of God, Dever, than to be punished by man. Now, how is Rav a punishment to man? So Rashi explains in number 6 in Yudalid, that they would have to go out and be 7 years of famine, they would have to go out and buy food from other countries. And that's one type of Chil Hashem. And Cherev is, of course, man. Man can be very cruel, very heartless. And especially David, who was recognized as a great warrior and the instrument of God, be even greater Chil Hashem. So David said, no, we'll suffer dever of 3 days. And in fact, that's what happened. Vayitein Hashem dever b'Yisrael mi'aboker v'ades mo'ed. One, the first day. It started from the morning until the set time, in the end of the period. Vayomos min'om idon v'abersheva shivim elef ish. 70,000 Jews died in that time. By way of comparison, it's roughly 3 times more people than Israel's lost in all its wars, going back to 1948. 70,000 Jews died as a result of this plague. And then, last pasuk number 1, Vayishlach Yado Amaloch Yerushalayim L'shachaso. The angel stretched out his hand. David was given a vision of an angel stretching out his hand over Yerushalayim to destroy it. And God relented of this particular evil, this punishment. And God said to the Malach, who was destroying the people, Rav, enough. Now, stop your hand. And the Malach of God was at the threshing floor of Aravna Hayivusi. What a segue. The plague is stopped, and David is brought before the Malach Hashem at this threshing floor. And he realizes through Nevuah that this whole sin and punishment were guiding him to a particular purpose. He should find the Makam HaMikdash. Turn the page and look at number 13, and we'll continue to the end of the story. Vayomer David al Hashem birasa samalach hamakem ba'om vayomer hinenochi chatasi v'nochi evesi ve'latzom me'asu tiniyad chabi v'vesavi. David said to Hashem, when he saw the angel striking down the people, I'm the one who has sinned, but the sheep, what have they done? Do nothing else. Stop. And in fact, the plague did stop. Vayavo God el David b'yom ahu. God came to David that day and said, "Vayomerlo, Aleo came Hashem mizbeach begor naravna hayvusi. Go build the mizbeach on this threshing floor." Vayal David kidvar God kasher tziv Hashem. David ascended Arbayis. Vayashkef Aravna vayar samelach vesavadov ovrim alov. Aravna was the head of the Yavusi, saw David approaching. Vayishtachu lamelach apavorti, bow down to the king. Vayomer Aravna, madu abaduni amelach alavdo, why did you come to me? Why did you come to your servant? Vayomer David, liknos meimcho es agoren, livnos mizbeach l'ashem, v'teatzar magifo me'alom. I came to purchase from you the threshing floor, to build a mizbeach upon it, and to stop the plague. Vayomer Aravna, David, yikach v'yal aduni amelach ato beinov, take what you want, the bakar, the morigim, the threshing tools, klei bakar leitzim, whatever you need, the tools of the cattle to cut wood, take whatever you want. Hakol nasan Aravna melech lamelech, he gave it all, I'll give it to you. David said he wants to buy it. Aravna said, I'll give it to you. Vayom Aravna lamelech, Hashem elokecha yirtzecha. Aravna said to the king, Hashem should accept all your offerings. Vayom hamelech el Aravna, lo, ki kano akne meoscho bimchir, v'lo alel Hashem elokai olo schinam. David said, no, I want to buy it from you for a price. I'm not going to bring any karbonos to Hashem for free. Vayiken David es agoren v'sabakor b'chesef shkolim chamishim. He bought the threshing floor and the cattle for 50 shkolim. Vayiven sham David mizbeach Hashem v'yal olos u'shlamim. David built there mizbeach. He brought karbonolos, karbonos shlamim. Vayaser Hashem la'aretz. God answered the prayers of the land. Vateatzar magefom al Yisrael. And the plague ceased in the land of Israel. And that ends Shmuel Bez. How do we get from the story of the sin and the dever to the purchase of the threshing floor of Goren, of Aravna Hayavusi, that became the place of the Beis HaMikdash? I note parenthetically that David was insistent on purchasing it. As the Medrash says in Vayishlach, in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Ayin Tes, that there are three places the non-Jews cannot say that we stole. Everything else they'll say that we stole. These they cannot, because they're all bought for good money. Marsa Machpelah, Avram bought. Kever Yosef, Yaakov bought. The Makam HaMikdash, David bought. They're all bought with money. So those three places, they have no tainus against. Of course, the irony is, those are the three places they claim most. Ones that we have title to through money, and not just through the tzivay of Hashem. So of course, the question is, how do we get from there to here? It was a nice, difficult to understand story about a fatal accounting, but how does that lead into the purchase of the Makam HaMikdash? What is the Navi telling us? And of course, it's a natural ending to Shmuel Bez, because David had earlier asked that he wants to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, and God said no, and then everything in his life happened. Stories with all his children, and Bathsheba, and this, and the rebellions. So, how did this come about so dramatically, so suddenly? I want to take some time, we'll finish with this. If you're of mind, you'll take it home and read everything that Rav Dessler has to say. Rav Dessler in the Michtav Meliam, the fourth Chelek, breaks down this area in such a beautiful way. We understand so much about this incident and about David and about ourselves and the nature of Chet, and I dare say something about our time as well. So he starts, we'll look at number 14. Some of it we'll read inside, some of it I'll just tell you orally. At the end of Shmuel Bez, David sins. What was his sin? So he quotes Rashi and Ramban, and he quotes the Bamidbar Rabbah that I cited. Either he didn't use Shkalim, or he counted them unnecessarily. The first sin we can enumerate here is something in the act itself. The act itself was sinful. Second sin. Ula betchilas habarsha kasuv vayosef Hashem lachros b'Yisrael. That God continued His anger raged against the Jewish people, but it did not explain what was the cause of that anger. And the Radak had his opinion. He said maybe there's some hidden sins, but the Ramban says in Parshas Korach, Shegilos anistar, that Ramban revealed what was hidden. V'kosav shayona shal Yisrael shenisachru bevinyan beis hamikdash. The sin was the Jewish people and David were punished because they delayed building the Beis HaMikdash. God told David he can't be the one to build it. That didn't mean that David could not lay the foundations for it or start the process. But once David was told he was not the one, but rather his son, it's as if, so to speak, he lost interest in building the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo hisoru l'drosh es Hashem v'livnos habayis l'shmo. And nothing could arouse him to build the Beis HaMikdash. U'mishum kach nisvado makom HaMikdash ha'idei onsham u'magev hasam. And therefore the place of the Mikdash became known to David through this punishment and through this plague. And he goes on to say, Aynu, shekevan shenilmad makom HaMikdash mimakom HaMidas HaNegev. Since he learned where the place of the Mikdash was, from the place where the plague stopped, Al-Karchacha Zomasha Bahanegef Lameid. That's what the plague came to teach David, where the Makam HaMikdash was going to be. Why that so? We don't know yet. Hare Chet Sheini, that's a second sin. And now he has a third sin, which Rashi alluded to. That incident again with Avishai and David and Shaul, when David almost boasted, standing over Shaul's sleeping body, that God can kill him. I'm not going to kill him. Chalila, we should kill the Mashiach Hashem. God can kill him in any way. Smite him down. He'll die of natural causes. He'll perish in battle. And the Yalkut says, listen to this, how attuned Chazal were to human psyche. Kapta nusan shalavos, v'lo anvisan usan shalbonim. Better the rigidness, even the anger of our fathers, than the false humility of the children. Kaptanus and Shalavas mina, where do we see the anger of our fathers? So when Yaakov confronted Lavan, so Yaakov absorbed a lot from Lavan's. Next week, Sedra, Vayetze. Yaakov took a lot. He never complained. Lavan cheated him numerous times. Yaakov never said anything until the very end. Finally, he couldn't take it anymore. But what did he say to Lavan? Ma pishi, ma chatosi. What's my iniquity? What's my sin? He made no threats against Lavan at all, as opposed to David. David was evinced a humility, but then he said to Shaul, why are you trying to kill me? You're trying to kill me? Mazkir shvichas damim b'piyuso. David's apologizing, but he's apologizing in such a way it sounds like a threat. Not to mention his three references to how Shaul can die not through David's hand. Also something of a threat. Lo nimna, I underline this. Lo nimna David milatayer befer esafnei hamiso sheicholim legros l'shol. David did not hesitate from describing orally the different manners of death that could befall Shaul. B'mishpatam shel Chazal donu ezeh l'fi otzim madregoso. Like anything, everyone is judged on his or her level. If David is saying that Shaul can die by God's God will smite him or in battle or this way or that illness or any way, it means David is reconciling himself, basically saying that Shaul deserves to die, but why should I kill him? Let God, David, in a bit of gaiva, is saying, my partner, my associate, let God do it. There's certain sins that exist in human nature. This is one of them here. It's a third sin. What's the third sin here? That David talked too much. He took a perverse delight in Shaul's death, even in fantasy. And that perverse delight had to be rectified. The fourth sin, we already mentioned, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Gemara in Brachos, rather, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, that David spoke insolently to God, calling God a Mesis. And the fifth sin, number 16, is in the Yalkut, Maksiv Lamala, what immediately precedes this Perek, Perek of Dal, the very end of Perek of Gimel, I said earlier, mentions all the warriors of David. So David was boasting in who his warriors are. Who's the last one mentioned? It's Perek of Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Tes, the very last Gibor of David who's mentioned, Uriah Hachiti, Kol Shloshim Yeshiva, 37 in all, the last one being Uriah Hachiti. So the Yalkut says, Kevan Shegiel Uriah Hachiti, Nemar Kol Shloshim Yeshiva, I mentioned all 37. In Divrayam, again, there's a different count. So the Yalkut says, again, Ro Kan Chazal Bikores Dakom in Adako, Chazal saw into human nature even sins of subtlety. How could David mention Uriah as one of his warriors? How could he not feel shame over what happened to Uriah? What happened to Uriah? This is the Chet of Batsheva, and he had him killed. So how could he even deign to mention Uriah as one of his warriors? Harechet Chamishi. That's the fifth sin. These five sins, Sarach Iyun, we have to find a connection between these sins. And Rav Dessler continues also that what does this mean that God incited David to do it? So let's look at 17 and we'll see the answer. So Rav Dessler, Kedarko Bakodesh, has a very famous essay in the first chelik of Michta Me'elyo called Gidrei Chataos HaRishonim, Understanding the Sins of the Ancients. So we tend to be, we usually fall into one of two groups. Either we whitewash everything the ancients did, or we are critical, saying, they're just like us. You know, look what David did, look what Yaakov did, look what Avram did, etc. They're both wrong. We have to understand the depth, the intensity of divine worship of these individuals. They're certainly not on our level. They're far above our level. See, quote Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, one of the great Hasidic greats, in the Sefer Pri Haaretz, Chazal saying about Azara, Lo ho Yisrael ruim losa masa, el kadei laharos tshuva, that many sins befell the ancients simply that they should be a guide for us on how to do tshuva. They needed to do tshuva for things which came before, like Yamsuf and other things, but they did not themselves feel the need for tshuva. So therefore certain events come about as a grand rectification of many sins. Now, you see here, everything is being done to prepare the way for Bina Beis HaMikdash. Everything is being done for tshuva of these five sins, and maybe another one or two we can mention, like the rebellion of the Jewish people. Why? Because at the end of Shmuel Beis, all flaws need to be rectified. And all family business has to be taken care of. The people have to do tshuva, David has to do tshuva, Yoav. And when these things happen, when a punishment comes upon a tzaddik, it's a chesed, because it's pointing at a sin that he may not be aware of. And sometimes our chatom are very subtle, but just because they're subtle, it does not mean that they're no less real. And once these sins are rectified, once there's a tahara, a purification, of all the principles, only then is Binyan Beis HaMikdash possible. We have to be worthy of building the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a question of wood and stone and metals. It's a question of the zchuyos of a nation. A nation that doesn't do tshuva is not worthy of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing that can be done to overcome that. It does not become a physical or geographical problem, certainly not a political problem. It's always a spiritual problem. So he continues, this is a chesed gadol tzaddik. The kibbalize hoyanishar b'li tikkun al achet adak shalor gishbo. Without this tikkun, without Hashem provoking, so to speak, the chet, or actualizing the chet, the sin would remain latent, and the impurity would remain hidden. It wouldn't even notice it. So this is what I think the Ralbag is talking about. Not that God, by Yosef, not that God incited David, that but for the incitement of Satan, David would not have sinned, but rather he might not have sinned at this time. It's as if there was a lid kept on it. David had these inner desires. He had the great, it's good to be the king. The king is the king. And it's bound to affect even the most humble person. And David had all these sins percolating with Uriah and Shaul, all these very subtle imperfections. But for them, he could not build the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they had to be rectified. They had to be cleared up. Now, Rav Dessler continues, Davar zeh hu nichshal b'chet she'enu lefi nekudas b'chir asar gilo. So he sinned in something which he never would have sinned in. Similar, by the way, to the chet with Bathsheba. You want to think of a sin of David HaMelech? It's like he lost his kavana in L'kayin Netzor L'shonim Eroh. That's a chet. Sin with an Ashes Ish? Sin with Minyan B'nai Yisrael? How's that possible? No. Dover zeh mevi laroch batzmo b'diko yisodis uvikores charifa ad shemigales achesronos hadakim shenimtzim bo be'omek nafsho u'mesakenosom u'mitaher legamri v'zoche la'olmei olomim. Such an obvious chait is like a wake-up call. It's a slap in the face that David should see. How is it possible such a sin came about? And then as soon as it happens, he realizes exactly what the chait was. And that's Vayach Lev David Oso. He saw what happened, wasn't quite yet sure what the chait was until the onshim were portrayed for him, but he had a clear understanding. That's the chait that we're talking about. The primary sin is that of the Ramban. There was a hidden sin that was eating away at the Jewish people, a lack of desire to build the Beis HaMikdash. And David was not sensitive to it. The people were not sensitive to it. God lowered their Bechira point. That is to say, the point at which people don't even think about that type of sin anymore. Ad kedeli kashel b'chait nigla, until they stumbled in a sin which is obvious. Shafilu tinagol shabez rabban yodinos. Everybody knows from Parshas Shkolim not to count this way. Kimitoch kach yavola hatedes ashorish v'galuas hacheta nistar. Through this, they'll scratch themselves. They'll delve into what happened, and they'll uncover exactly the nature of the sin. Now let's understand as we move to 18. The sins were very subtle. The sins had to be uprooted. They had to be in a perfected state to be worthy of even owning the Makom HaMikdash, much less building the Beis HaMikdash. What's the chait, he says in 18, the shoresh chait of not building the Beis HaMikdash? Mi shemisrashel baze vadaihu mishum she'ein inyan ze shel kviyus makom choshev etzlo. It's not that important that the Shechina have a place to rest. When is it not important? When agashmius yosei kvu etzlo. When gashmius, when materialism takes over in life. When materialism is our main focus, palaces and wealth and houses, etc., then what happens to the Shekhinah, that seems less so, because the Shekhinah is a Shekhinah. You know, you make do with a small shul in the Beis Hamikdash for. Binyan zeh kamuvan b'dakus l'fi madrega sam, very precise according to their level. That was the sin of the Jewish people, and David as well. They didn't feel any hisorus, any need, any arousal to build the Beis HaMikdash. So God had to arouse them. And he says the sins are really the same. Yesh lahem argasha shel otzma gashmis uvisus medini biyadam aribuy chlusyo. David wanted to glorify in his physical prowess. Look at the nation that he ruled, which is essentially a gashmius fulfillment. So too, our gashas akvius legashmius shimonasis adrisho lekvius mokol meshchina. That same feeling, which led David to glorify in the physical trappings of power and the growth of his nation, it's that same feeling that inhibited him from building the Beis HaMikdash. And now we'll see the kesher that all these sins had with Kriyas Beis HaMikdash. He quotes the Maharal, Netzach Yisrael Perek Daled, a beautiful Maharal. The first Beis HaMikdash existed due to the merit of the three Avos. It was destroyed when we succumbed to the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gila Royah, Shvichus Damim. Each of these sins have a particular character. Avodah Zarah is a sin against God. Gila Royos is a sin against the person himself. And Shvichus Damim, homicide, is a sin against another person. These three sins parallel David's sins, as Rav Dessler outlined for us. The first, Im Hashem es ischa bi, David said to Shaul, if God is inciting you, that's a scintilla of Avodah Zarah. If God is inciting you, any misconception about God's nature partakes of the same chait of Avodah Zarah. That's Neged Hashem. He bragged that Uriah was one of his top generals, one of his great warriors, mindless of the fact that he had him killed and he sinned with his wife. It means that David still had an iota of Gila, of the sin of Gila Arroyo still within him that had to be uprooted. And what he said about Shaul, again he boasted to Avishai ben Tsruya that God can kill him in any way God wants, why should we do it? That glorifying in Shaul's demise is also a shemetz of Shvichas Domim. Through this chait of counting the Jews and the punishment that came through David's recognition, this opened the way for David to find out where the Makom Mikdash was, to buy it and begin the process of building. Through the revealed chait, even the hidden chait, the latent chait, is going to be exposed to us. Just to summarize, the Maharal says that the first Beis HaMikdash was built with Schus Avos. It's undone with the three cardinal sins. David sins here. The basic sin was not building the Beis HaMikdash. And the technical sin was in terms of the methodology he used in counting. But the sins which corrupted his core, again, on a very on a level that it's difficult for us to appreciate, a level so minute that for us it wouldn't even be a sin. But on David's level, it is a sin. That type of chait, even glorifying verbally in Shaul's death, even listing Uriah as one of his generals without any shame, that corruption had to be uprooted. As humble as David was, as humble as he was, Anochi Talas V'lo Ish, he says about himself in Tehillim, I'm a worm, not a person. David also had instincts and desires, and more to the point, he had unconscious strivings that had to be rectified, had to be perfected, as Rav Dessler notes in the next paragraph, amot benivchei nefesh, deep into the recesses of the soul, of the psyche, bivchinas silo shel guf, like a shadow of the body. For us, it doesn't even seem real. You know, we look at chait as what you do. That's it. That's what we want to be judged on. Machshava ro, ain't a kadosh baruch hu mitzarif l'maisa. An evil thought, God does not connect to the deed. That's on our level. On the level of the greats, tzaddikim, even a machshava ro, to harbor an evil thought, to harbor a corrupt notion, for someone who's going to build the base of Mikdosh, that can't be, that had to be uprooted. So even though Dovah was very far from real Shvichas Domim, or really from Arayos, all these things are aberrations, Rochot Ma'od, nonetheless, B'nivchei HaNefesh, B'vchinas Tzilo Shel Guf, Hufchan Sheyesh Kan, Tzas Shemetz Simcha Le'ed, B'tzayro La'atzmos Protei Ofanei Misasov Shariyim. Even David had a little, a tiny amount of joy speculating on how Shaul would die. And for that, he's called to the carpet. Chisaron ze haya nistar mi David kolosan hashanim. Even David didn't know he had that flaw. It was hidden from him all these years. Until he heard God say, yeah, 3 verses 3, and then he recalled that. And again, only a tzaddik is like this. Something will happen, and right away they will associate it with something years ago. That's why. They'll see the connection. They'll remember the sin, remember the flaw, and that's why old David knew. He knew he did something wrong. When God said, these are the 3 possible punishments, right away he realized what the chataim were. He realized right away as well what needed to be rectified. That's why he didn't hesitate for a second. Niplo nobi ad Hashem, ki rabu rachamo, uviad odom alapolo. The Rav Dessler ends with this, which we should, by way of understanding ourselves, we have to give thanks to our holy sages, experts, the greatest psychologists ever, that revealed to us these wondrous secrets. They didn't do it so we should become critics of the ancient tzaddikim, chas v'shalom. Ki barur hu shekol gadla ma'alasam shagadolam elu mishifluseinu. It's so obvious to us that their greatness is so much greater than even our low. We can't even speak about it. Our lowliness. Asher kimat nimna mimenu la'asigas ma'alasol gam shel chayt echa mechatoheyem. They're so removed from our level that it's hard for us even to identify what the sin was. Now that he spoke about it, we can understand why on their level it's considered a chait. Chas v'shalom, we should ever think that on our level we can even approach that, to harbor unconscious thoughts that we don't even know about for many years, and to think that that's why great events are happening in the world, or punishments have to come upon the Jewish people, or even that we need to rectify. Halavai, we speak about it so often, we should be able to not speak Lashon Hara, just not speak it, but to think that we'd be able to excise the latent desire that we have to speak Lashon Hara. Who can even ask for such a thing? That's us. For the ancients, it wasn't asked of them, it was demanded of them. Because great things were expected of them, and they had to accomplish great things for Klal Yisrael. Kvar be'arnu shemalach darkei zikuch b'dargas silo shel guf domeh b'ma'otel malach tikun amidos b'madrigaseinu. It's already mentioned that the way they purify themselves, in essence, is similar to the way we have to purify our midos. But of course, in a way we can't understand. Lochem igiluyam me'ein eile נוכל לדון על הקיש גם על מה שמסרחש בפנים לבבינו. The truth is, everyone else going on inside, we know when certain desires we have are illicit, we know when we succumb, we know these things, but we're not as honest with ourselves as David was. Ulai nagia bezras Hashem gamanu lidek tzas tukun alev. May we think a little more about the forces that rage within us, maybe we'll come to a tikkun as well. Rav Dasa says, by the way, later on in Chelek Dalid, that once David chose Dever, he right away understood what the remez was and what the real sin was and the purpose of the punishment to purify the people and himself and to prepare the way for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly why the Malach led to that place, the threshing floor of Aravna Hayavusi. In the end, it all works out, strange as it sounds. If you turn the page back to number 9, there the Medrash says, in the name of Rosh Ben Yaakov, Nim Shel Yisrael Kechol, we're compared to Chol Kechol Svas Hayom, Machol Azah To Sepo Gumo Miba Erev, Uveshachar Satamotze Ososhin Ismalo. If you dig a little hole, the beach, like the kids always do in the sand, so you dig in the evening, you come back in the morning, what happened? It's all filled up because the water comes and redisperses it. Kach kol ha'lofim shechosri Yisrael b'mei David. All the thousands, the 70,000 that were lost in David's time. Emosay nismalu, when were we replenished? B'mei Shlomo. Shlomo's time, we had a population spurt. Almost as compensation, as atonement. So in fact, in terms of numbers, the numbers came back. There was the rectification. As also, the preparations for Binyan Beis HaMikdash started in earnest. It's not mentioned here, but it's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. Right after he purchased the Goren, David started making the plans and getting the architects. What else was necessary? Of course, raising the funds, getting the workers together. David did everything, so when Shlomo, his son, would take over, he'd be ready to start the building. All of this to teach us one beautiful point that Rav Ariel makes in Oz Melech. The font is so reduced, it's impossible to read. But he says that we can be zocha to Binyan Beis HaMikdash in a direct way. If we're worthy, and the people are exalted, and we prepare everything, we're roi l'shchino. That's one way to be zocha to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Avo parshatena milamedet, we learn from our inyan here, shein zot derech hayechida, that's not the only way. You could even have a generation that's corrupt, and that's sinful, and that's distant from all types of virtue, but it's brought around. Afu yagia levasof l'pisgat ha'dveikut, even that generation, through Yisurin, through difficulties, through turmoil, through travail, can come around to that acme of cleaving to Hashem. Elo shederech zo tekrucho b'kshayim uv'yisurim rabim. That way, unfortunately, is tied up with difficulties and with suffering. And that's the way that's upon us. Hashras hashchino efsharit hein letzadikim v'hein lebali tshuva. Because the Gemara Shoshana, Hashem, Hashem, ani Hashem, kodem shiyech da'odom, v'anihu la'acha shiyech da'odom, v'yaseh tshuva. Whole story comes to show us, when we get to the Mikdash directly, if we're worthy, or circuitously, if we're not worthy. The fact is, that's the way the Beis HaMikdash is built. In our day, so many people run to the Har Bayis to set foot there. It's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to hasten it. For all I know, could delay it. That's not how it's done. It's not a political question. It's not a geographical question. What matters most is who's a tzaddik, and who's faithful, and who's a neman, and who are the kedoshim. That was the test that David HaMelech realized then, and that really is the test that we realize now. This is how the Mikdash is built. Looking into the hearts of every Jew and thinking, what are our flaws? What are our weaknesses? Not the obvious ones. We can't stop talking in shul. Of course! But what is it? What's the corruption? What's the imperfection we can't root out? deal with root causes, that's the renaissance of Jewish life that we look forward to. That, in fact, is the secret to the future. That is the road to Geula, and that is the way to Bina Beis HaMikdash that we should be zocha to b'mehera b'yameinu, amen. That is the end of Shmuel Beis. I thank you very much for your participation. Sometime down the future, God should give me strength. We'll start Malachim Aleph. Until 2 weeks, we begin the history of modern Israel. Thank you very much.